2024 will be better than before. Let us look to the Lord and pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way. Fall fresh on us. God, I know that there are words I've got written here on this iPad, God, but I pray that you would speak. That you would use my words, that you would translate whatever comes forth, that it would impact someone's life right where they are today. Use your transformative power to change our lives, our minds, our families, our direction, our thoughts, to be more like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit is highlighting a passage of Scripture for us today. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. I'll be reading verses 5 through 10 from the New International Version. That's 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. Starting at verse number 5. And the scripture reads, Ashur, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helah and Naarah. Naarah bore him Ahuzam, Hefer, Timani, Hahasterai. These were the descendants of Naarah, the sons of Helah, Zereth, Zohar, Ethnon, and Kaz, who was the father of Anub and Hezobibah. And the clans of Aharnel, son of Haram. Wait, what? Huh? Have you ever read something that was not engaging, didn't make sense, wasn't entertaining, didn't edify you in the moment? What do you do in those situations when you open the book and it's like, say, wait a minute, hold up. God, is this way you're leading me today? I need a word from you, not a genealogy. What do you do in those situations when you open your Bible to a passage like this? Do you close the book and put it away? Do you continue to flip? Say, Lord, I'm going to play the lottery. In the name of Jesus. Look. I just flipped and I got the Chronicles again. The Lord is speaking today. This is the word from God. Listen, what do you do in those situations? Do you fall asleep? Do you get distracted with a conversation or get on your phone, you know, and play your favorite game? Oh, I'll get back to something like that later. Oh, what do we do? You see, the one thing that is rare for us as human beings is this, completing a task when we're not engaged. We leave a whole lot of things undone, incomplete when we are not interested. When we are not entertained, we like to leave it. We'll walk away. I'll deal with it another day. 20 years later, you look, I still haven't dealt with that. Today, I'd like to encourage you to continue pursuing, to continue reading, to continue researching. If you are working on a degree and things are getting tough for you right now, keep pushing, keep moving ahead. There's something better for you on the other end of this. If you're looking for a new job or a promotion, don't give up or settle for less. Keep pushing, keep pursuing, keep progressing, because there's something better if you keep on pressing ahead. Listen, when you come to a place in Scripture that is difficult, that is challenging, that is overwhelming at times, I believe God is saying to you today, take a few more steps forward. Read two more verses, because I've got a blessing on the other side of this thing just for you. What is God saying to you today? What does he want you to pursue? What is he nudging you today to move forward in, to continue to pursue, to continue to keep your attention on, even though you are faced with distractions? Well, I believe that he wants us to find a blessing in the next two verses. That we shouldn't just stop short and read something and say, okay, I got my Bible reading in the day. But he wants us to continue until we are blessed. Let's read verse number 9 and 10. He says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Before we proceed, let me let you know or offer up a little bit of a warning. Warning, especially to those of you who have been Christians for a little while. Maybe you've been a Christian since the 90s or the early 2000s, or maybe even before. Many mistakes have been made over the years in applying this prayer. This is a prayer of a man named Jabez. This prayer of Jabez has been misused. You see, in April of 2000, there was a man named Dr. Bruce Wilkinson who wrote this little book that many of you may have on your shelves right now. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. Some of y'all heard of that book. The Prayer of Jabez took America by storm. Everybody had a copy of this book. Everybody was following the principles that Dr. Bruce Wilkinson had to say in this book. And it was so short that we were engaged. It's not like that Bible. You see, in the 90s and the early 2000s, there was a period of time that we talk about in America that was called the Prosperity Movement. I don't know if y'all heard of that. Some of them preachers still out there preaching that stuff. But the Prosperity Movement was where fake prophets and money-hungry pastors would use this prayer and many other scriptures as a get-rich-quick scheme. I have to tell you this, I'm not going to call his name, but I went to one of these prominent pastors' churches, me and my cousin, and we were so into this guy. He was preaching this stuff. Man, we were really into his preaching, and we got to his church. We traveled a long distance, and we sat in the service, and it was going well until offering time. In offering time, he said, you know, the Lord is, I'm mimicking his voice. There's a $1,000 line over here. God wants you to have a $500,000 line over here. And oh, the Lord is speaking to me. You see, when they start shaking their hand like that, you know they got something up their sleeve. The Lord is speaking. There's a $25,000 blessing in the house that God is saying, if you give me a check for $25,000 today, he's going to give you a $1 million contract by the end of the week. Now, This ain't from the Bible. This is from the book of Gary. If you got $25,000, I am not going to reject your check. God will be blessed. His kingdom will be made better because of your $25,000. But you ain't going to get no $1 million contract. I'm going to guarantee that right now. That's something, you know. Anyway. But I found that interesting. And then it was this couple that walked to the front and they just teary-eyed. They crying. We got this check. We're going to write. And they wrote him a check for $25,000. I was like, all these poor churches out here. You got me right here. Do you see my empty pockets right here? I got keys. I got a house. I'm blessed. Praise God. But I'm like, what in the world is going on here? You see, what happened was Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, he actually took these principles and he wanted to bless the world. He had good intentions. He wrote this book about the prayer of Jabez, and he moved to Africa because he wanted to apply his principles that were working in America in another context. And it's well documented. You can look it up online that he failed miserably. Move right back here to America. You see, capitalism Christianity is not Christ's Christianity. Uh-oh, I was right. This prayer of Jabez is not a self-serving prayer. It is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It is not put $5 in the bucket and God's going to bless you with $500 before you leave the church today. You see, it's actually the opposite of capitalism. Y'all might not come back after this. Listen, it is actually the opposite because God wants you to use this prayer and use the blessings that he bestows on your life to expand his kingdom, not your pockets. He is looking for you to be poured into so that you can pour out. The bigger your bank account, the more you need to pour out. So since we had that little history lesson, let's dig into this prayer of Jabez. Verse number 9 and 10, let's pick it apart. Hope you don't mind. Today I'm doing more of an expository teaching. You see, verse number 9 introduces us to a historical figure named Jabez. Jabez, it says Jabez was more honored than his brothers. You see, we don't have much information about this guy named Jabez. His name appears nowhere else in Scripture. There's another place called Jabez in Scripture, but his name, this man, appears nowhere else in Scripture. So we only have a two-sentence biography of this man. So everything we're going to talk about today comes from what we dig out of this passage. You see, Jabez, he is in this genealogy, he's listed in this genealogy, and if you do read back a little further, we see that he is a descendant of the tribe of Asher. Asher is one of the 12 sons of Jacob, better known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Jabez, that name, if you look it up, the Hebrew word Jabez means pain. It means pain or sorrow. What kind of name is that? What mama or daddy in their right mind are going to name their child Pain? Pain. Here comes pain. Now, I heard that. My mama's probably watching. I ain't gonna rat her out. I love you, mama. Look. Can you imagine? This man's lifestyle, his life, growing up, he's going out to school, and the teacher, he raises his hands and the teacher to answer the question, yes, pain. He going to the lunch line to get some lunch, and the lunch lady say, here come that pain again. His friends and everybody around him, they teasing him every day because what your mama named you, you are a pain to your parents. How did he get this name? Who gave him that name? Well, look at verse number 9. I gave birth to him in pain, says his mama. She named him after her experience. I wonder if there's anybody here who has ever been, had someone else's experience put upon you. I wonder if there's anybody here who's ever been named or labeled after someone had an experience with you. I wonder if you've ever been called a name or given a title or given some type of label because of someone else's experience. His mother is the one who had the trouble, and she passed that trouble on to her son through a name. Words are powerful, ladies and gentlemen. You see, one word can encourage a child to be the best they could ever be, to pursue their goals and their dreams and accomplish great things, or one word negatively can destroy someone's life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, I believe it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your words are powerful. Be careful how you use them. Pay attention to the text, though. Jabez was given a name by who? His mama. This is a traditional Jewish culture. Mamas don't give names to boys in a traditional Jewish culture. That is the responsibility of the daddy. Where's daddy? Might I suggest that mama's pain is not completely physical? That her pain is not only physical, but daddy's not in the picture. Therefore, her pain is also emotional and financial. This is a culture where a woman just couldn't go to law school. I'm going to get a law degree and I'm going to go get me start a practice. Can you imagine? Women couldn't get jobs like that. And so without dad in the picture, they're living a life of poverty. And here comes baby number we don't know. Because the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, meaning that there is a clan there. Maybe dad died before Jabez was born. Maybe dad found another family, started another family with the lady down the road. Maybe dad has been incarcerated and ripped away from his family and is now locked behind bars, never to see his family or provide for them again, and it ruins generations now. You see what mass incarceration does. Jabez is the one who has to bear the burden of all of this. Since the beginning of his life, Jabez was labeled negatively. Wonder if there's anybody here who's ever had the experience of being mislabeled. Maybe you've been bullied or belittled. Maybe you've been mistreated or misunderstood. Maybe you've been roasted or regulated to the bottom of a fixed caste system. I wonder if you've ever been called outside of your name. Have you ever experienced a negative label? God wants you to know something today, that you don't have to be what people call you. God wants you to know today that whatever people are calling you right now, God sees otherwise. God sees you for who you are. God sees what's on the inside of you, not what other people call you. You are the image of the Almighty God. God loved you so much that he created you as the imago Dei, as his image, after his likeness. You are like him, and so you are valuable. You are worth something. You are worth it. Don't let anybody ever speak down to you. You speak up. Defend yourself. You are too precious to allow somebody's words to drag you down. Jabez gets fed up. Jabez has had enough of life like this. I don't want to live like this anymore. I refuse to live like this anymore. I refuse to live with the labels that my mama put on me. Anybody ever dealt with generational curses? I'm breaking the cycle today. Anybody ever made that determination? I'm not going down the same road my mama and daddy did. I'm not going down the same road my grandmama and granddaddy did. I'm not going to live like they did. I'm going to live differently. I'm making the choice now for me and my children. What did Jabez do? He took action. The text says, verse number 10, that he cried out to the God of Israel. That's significant. He cries out. He doesn't hold it in. He opens his mouth and speaks out to God. Some of us need to open our mouths and speak up and speak out to our God. Later for all that, well, I thought it in my mind, and so therefore I did my prayer. No, holler out, God, I need you. Stop holding it in. Listen, a lot of us need to get rid of this pride thing. Amen. A lot of us need to get rid of this embarrassment thing. If I say something in the church, if I say amen, they're going to look at me. So what? Amen. You better open your mouth. God is looking to bless you, and you holding him back by keeping it to yourself. You better open your mouth. God wants you to open your mouth and speak to him because he created your mouth, and he wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from you, watch this, when things are going great and you're celebrating, and when things are going bad and you're lamenting. God wants to hear from you. Jabez cries out to the Lord God of Israel. Now, I almost jumped out of my skin when I read that for about the 50th time. He spoke up. Cried out to the Lord God of Israel. Oh, man, y'all missing this. The Lord God of Israel, watch this. Israel is his great, 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 great grandfather. That's why we have this genealogy here. You go back, that is his great, 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 going on back, granddaddy. Maybe you heard of a person named Jacob. Jacob in the Old Testament. His name meant trickster. His name meant con artist. And one day he meets God face to face and has a wrestling match with him. And he says to God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And God said, okay. Today your name will no longer be Jacob or trickster or con artist. I change your name today to Israel, meaning God will prevail. And Jabez says, if God can do that for my great-great-granddaddy, if he can change his name from trouble to triumph, he can surely change my name from Jabez to joy. Listen, somebody in here today, you need a name change. You need God to step in your situation. You need God to step in your life. You need him to make a change in you, and you need to be changed from sorrow to satisfaction. You need a transformation from oppression to optimism. You need a transformation from pain to perseverance. It only comes from calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord God of Israel. the one who has a long track record of doing this over and over again. That's why we got this genealogy. It's not just a list of born names. It's a list to let you know God will prevail. And he's done it before for them. He will do it today for you. So, Jabez had his life transformed. He had his life transformed because he cried out to the God of Israel. So, that brings me to this. How can we have our lives blessed like Jabez? I want some of this too. Jabez, share with me how your life was transformed, Jabez. Number one, one observation that I want to point out is this. You need to participate in your own promotion. Yeah. Not just, Lord God, gimme, 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 gimme. Participate. How did Jabez participate in his own promotion? He cried out to the God of Israel. But watch this. It's not just that he cried out. It's what he cried out. What did he say? It's right here in the text. Look at verse number 10. Bless me. Two words. Bless me. Man, some of y'all, let me tell you. You need to learn how to pray for yourself sometimes. You need to get off of this idea that, it's inappropriate for me to lift myself up in prayer. No, you need prayer too. And you better call on your name sometime you get down there. Lord, now name it down to sleep. Bless me, Lord, I need it. I need you to stop by and see me. What did he say? Bless me. What's significant about that is this. What does that word bless me mean? We got to go to the Hebrew. The word bless in Hebrew is the word barak. I'm not going to get political. I could go a long way with that one. But listen, barak me, God. Bless me, God. What does that mean? To barak, watch this. When we barak God, the Bible tells us that we are supposed to, Old Testament, we're supposed to barak God, right? It means that we're supposed to praise God, we're supposed to bow down before him and draw our face closer to him. You can look it up in your own Bible dictionary. So to barak God means to bring my face closer to him by bowing, praising him, blessing his name. But Jabez doesn't say, I'm going to barak you, God. No, no, no. He flips that thing. He says, God, barak me. I need you to barak me. Listen, I got so much trouble in my life, God. I need you to kneel down and bring your face closer to me. I need your presence. I need your power. I need your strength in my life right now. And that can't happen unless you come and do it. God, I need you to bless me. Barak me, God. Listen, he says, barak me. Sometimes, look, James says it this way, you have not because you ask not. We need to learn to open our mouths and ask God for what we need. All right. Moving on. The second thing, observation, that I get from this text. It's not only that we need to participate in our own promotion, we need to investigate our own inventory. Look at what he does. He says to God to bless me, but how does he want God to bless him? He wants God to bless him by enlarging my territory, expand my borders. Jabez, what does he do? He takes a look at his own inventory, his own life. God, what do I have in my own life? And he says, God, it's not enough for me to do all that I want to do for you. Listen, God, I've exhausted all of my resources. I've been praising you. I've been worshiping you. I've given my money. I've given my property. I've done all of this for you. Now, God, if you want me to do more for you, I need you to expand my territory, expand my borders. I need you to do something else in my life that I can't do for myself. Don't ask God for more stuff if you're not doing nothing with what he's already blessed you with. Don't ask God to give you more and more if you're planning to get less and less involved. Because expanding one's borders is a land request. He's like, God, expand my borders, right? Expand my territory means I want to do more work for you. I got more land. I got to do more work to create more blessing for your kingdom to come, your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. He's not looking for you to sit back and be like, oh, yeah, God, make my pockets fat. Oh, God, come on, give me more. Give me more. You know, I love more. We love more. We love storing stuff. We're the only country in the world got storage containers. I stepped on somebody's toes. That's why I did that little nervous laugh. I can't even fit my car in my garage. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Jabez is asking God for more because he has already given all that he has. When you have given all, when you have emptied your cup, when you have emptied your pockets, when you have emptied yourself to God, say, now, God, I'm empty. Fill me. I need to be refreshed by you. Last thing is this. Not only do you need to participate in your own promotion, you need to investigate your inventory, but he wants you to seek the Savior. Look, I'm going to break down this last sentence. So a couple more minutes, worship team. Give me 2 minutes and a half. Break down the sentence. The last sentence, he says, let your hand be with me, verse number 10. That's the first part of the sentence. The word hand there in Hebrew means your strength and your power. It's like, I read it like this. God, I need your hand to be on me. I need your hand and your power, your strength to guide me, to bless me, so that when my haters look on me, when those people who don't like me look on me, they can look at my life and say, oh man, it's only God that blessed that person's life like that. How can I get in touch with a God like that? That's the kind of God I want to be with. I need those people who grew up with me, those people who know my dirt, those people who know my story, those people who teased me, those people who discounted me, those people who labeled me, those people who mislabeled me, those people who abused me, those people who misused me, to look at my life and say, there's nobody but the hand of God that's guiding that boy's life. I need God's blessing on my life. Then he breaks down the sentence where I says the second part of the sentence. He says this, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Man, y'all missed it. I thought somebody would jump a pew or something. Keep me from harm so I can be free from pain. Free from pain, free from, who is his name? Jabez. What does Jabez mean? Pain. Free from myself. God, I'm my own worst enemy at times. God, can you bless me to not get in the way of your blessings on my life? Can you keep me from messing up my own strategy, your plan for my life? Can you keep me out of my own way so that your blessing can come through? Keep me from me, God. Jabez say, keep me from pain. God, I want to be free. Sometimes I got the big feet. I keep stepping out in my own space. And then he ends it with this. And God granted his request. Worship team, y'all come on up here. Drop the mic on that one. We serve a God who wants to bless you. We serve a God who loves you so much that he created you in his image, and he does not want to see you lacking in any area of your life. He takes no satisfaction in you lacking in some area. but he doesn't like greed either. He wants you to ask him for what you need in your life. Yeah. But watch this. The things that only he can provide. He's not looking for you to say, God, pay this bill for me when I got money in my pocket. I'm just trying to save it for later. God bless me with a new car, new house, when you know you can go get a loan. I want God to bless me with something that no one else could ever do for me. There's some things in my life that my brother can't help me with, that my wife can't help me with, that my daughter can't help me with, that y'all can't help me with. There's some things in my life that I can only call on the name of Jesus and beg him, God, can you meet me in this space? Ask him for what you need. And God granted his request. Man, I almost flipped out when I read that again. I got to this message Sunday when I was driving here, last Sunday. Like, I had a whole nother message, scripture that I was going to deal with. And I'm driving, and I'm listening to Donald Lawrence. I mean, that's probably outside of some of y'all comfort zone. Donald Lawrence and Tri-City Singers, he got this song called Bless Me. And it's basically the prayer of Jabez, and they're singing through this prayer of Jabez, and I'm like, oh my gosh, me and my daughter listening on the way in here. And God said, that's the message. Like, you got to give them and let them know all the prosperity gospel. Actually, Jesse was like, you have to give a warning if you're going to preach on the prayer of Jabez. They're going to be in there thinking you're going to ask them for some money. Like I said, I'm not rejecting any checks. But God loves you so much, he wants to bless you. Never feel like you don't deserve his blessing. Because you are his child. Even when my child act up, she still deserves my love. She be acting. No. I'm not supposed to say all that stuff. Listen, if you would entertain me for just 1 second, and y'all can go ahead and sing. You started writing a connect card. At the bottom of the connect card, there's an action step. What I'm going to ask you to do is, by faith, write something down. I want you to write down what you need from God. Really. And let us pray over these cards today. Let us pray for you this week. And guess what? Don't forget to pray for yourself. Call your name in your prayer tonight. Call your name in your prayer right now. As the worship team is singing, pray for yourself. Because watch this. If you want to be a... Oh, I'm sorry. I told y'all one more thing. If you want to be a blessing to somebody else, if you want to be a blessing to your community, if you want to be a blessing to your neighborhood, if you want to be a blessing to your family, you can't do that empty. You got to be filled up in order to pour out to somebody else. So God bless us. Turn this card in, drop it in the back box at the back of the room on your way out. Let us stand. Let us stand as we end in worship. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you bless this time of worship? God, would you illuminate to us this morning that area that we really need, that area that we keep neglecting, that area that we need you to supernaturally come in and heal or deliver us from or to take care of for us. God, show us your favor. And we thank you for loving us. Bless us as we worship. Amen. Listen, I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come up to pray with you about anything that you all have going on in your life. Would you come up, prayer teams, and as the worship team is singing, please come up and get prayer.